here as well. When the lights go out and there's silence, that someone's going to shout out, "Who's the man?" Now, I heard someone do that, but we want some ladies to do it as well. Amen? We got any ladies in the house that can shout? I know you can. I know you can. Okay. First Kings, hopefully you find it safely. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the opportunity to serve today. And I pray that you would encourage some people today to come out of their shell. And I pray you encourage people to take a step of faith. And maybe take a risky step of faith that's what's risky to them and go to serve somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen. A family member of mine recently bought a little puppy, a little beagle puppy. Cute little puppy. If you ever notice animals, all animals have a blank stare. They can't smile. They can't make too many facial expressions. Too many, nothing like humans, but they're all just so cute. And it was in another country. I was seeing this through Skype, and the dog was like up to the camera, you know, just cute and everything. So he had trained the dog for several months. It was still under a year old. Trained the dog, you know, potty trained, give him a bag, blah, 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 blah. And then one day he took the dog out for a walk at the beach, took the leash off, and the beagle's little hound got a scent and ran away and never found the dog. It was gone. And I felt so sorry for the dog because I was imagining what the dog was thinking, being lost. I mean, at first, I'm sure he didn't think I was going to get lost. I'm just going to find the scent, but then realize I ran away from my safety. I ran away from my love. I ran away from my home. I was wondering where that dog was, how it was eating. Did someone find it? Did someone do anything bad to it? And sometimes people do the same thing. We go after some scent, you know, maybe an interest or a career pursuit or relationship or something. And we find ourselves lost, and we can't get our way back. You know, if the dog could talk, he would say, "This is my owner, this is where I live," but the dog can't do that. And how does someone who is lost find its way back? Now, as we continue our series called Family Origin, we've been talking about the four kinds of kids in dysfunctional families and how those dysfunctions can distort our relationship with people and relationship with God. And trying to help people understand, well, if this is who I am and this is what my dysfunction has caused me to be, how can I find my way back? Today we're going to talk about the lost child. Everyone say lost child. Now, if you look in your notes very briefly, we'll just go through this very briefly before we get into 1 Kings. The oldest child usually is the hero child, the straight-A student, workaholic, I got to achieve to be loved, and they grow up to be that kind of a person. There are many adults right now, that's how they live. They're driven to achieve and do everything right because they think if I achieve, then I will be loved. The more I do, the more I achieve, the more I accomplish, the more valuable I am, the more love I receive. Now, that's a dysfunctional way of seeing life, but that is the way some people see life. The second child sometimes is the scapegoat child. We talked about that last week. The kid is always getting in trouble. We all know some people, they always got to get in trouble. Because what those kids do, subconsciously, they're born into a family where the oldest child is basically, in their mind, perfect and everything does right. And the parents go, "Oh, what a great kid we have." And they figure, "Well, I can't be that." So they, by default, not consciously, but they, by default, start getting in trouble. And they hear a lot of times, "Why can't you be like your brother or sister?" Which makes me more resentful. And then you have the third child, which we're going to talk about today. Say the lost child. The third child, again, this not happens all the time, but the lost child is a child that says, "I can't be a hero because that role is already taken. I can't be the scapegoat child because that role is always taken and that attention is going there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fly under the radar and I'm going to be good. I'm not going to cause any problems. And I'm going to be the kid no one has to worry about." Oh, and you'll hear that. "Oh, we don't never have to worry about him or her because they, you know, you make your bed every day. Okay, you follow the rules, and you watch your other kid, your other siblings. Oh, this one gets all the praise. This one's always in trouble. I'm just gonna be cool. I'm gonna be quiet." Now, let me say this: if you make your bed every day, it doesn't mean you're the lost child. If you follow the rules, it doesn't mean you're the lost child. If you're trying to fly under the radar, it doesn't mean you're the lost child. If you're shy, that's just your personality. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a lost child. But this is, but what I'm telling you, what I'm describing to you is a child, it is a role you could take in the family. Some of you may be that. You've been kind of just not wanting to make any waves. Now, the bad to that is that, well, we'll see. Look at your notes. Look at A. And you know, it's right, says what a loner or lost child looks like on the outside is that they're a loner, daydreamer, drifts, floats, quiet, shy, ignored, stayed off the radar. They withdraw from reality sometimes, or they withdraw from the drama in their house. What they feel on the inside is unimportant, unallowed to have feelings, hurt and abandoned and defeated sometimes. In other words, I can't feel because I can't express my feelings, because if I express my feelings, it may ruffle stuff, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. See, what they mean to the family is relief. The one kid no one has to worry about, the good kid, so they feel stuck in that role. I have to be good. I can't rock the boat with anything I think, because my role is to be that to the family. And you get stuck in that role. As an adult, they will become indecisive, can't say no. They're alone, unable to feel sometimes, very low self-esteem. Unable to express themselves in relationships because they've been taught in their childhood, I'm the safe child. I'm going to isolate. What they can become is independent, creative, imaginative. Now, let me say this. You may be saying, that has nothing to do with me. Okay, I'm not that person. Let me say this. If it's you, God's got good news for you today. But if it's not you, let me say this. Have you ever been, don't raise your hand, just think about it. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever felt in despair? Have you ever felt overwhelmed? What we're going to say to the lost child is what we're going to say to you. It's the same thing. It's a story about Elijah. Everyone say Elijah. Elijah, we're going to look at in 1 Kings 19, was a mighty man of God. And we're going to see in this story that Elijah called fire out of heaven on 450 false prophets. Man of God. Elijah raised a widow's son from the dead. Mighty man of God. Elijah confronted kings. A mighty man of God. Elijah, this is the coolest part. Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire. He never died. Just imagine, he gave his ministry to Elisha, and then he says, I got to go. And a chariot of fire came, and he went to heaven. And you're thinking, come on. Yeah. Take it one step further. When in the book of Luke and Matthew, Jesus appeared on the mountain with Elijah and Moses. This is a thousand years after he's dead. He's a mighty man of God. But you know what, in this story we're going to look at real quick? He called fire out of heaven, killed 450 false prophets of a woman named Jezebel. Everyone say Jezebel. Jezebel was known for her, hey, what's happening, man? She was that lady. She was a seductress. And Jezebel said, Elijah, before the sun goes down, I'm going to kill you. Mighty man of God. And he's going to run for his life, and he's going to ask God to kill him. He's suicidal because a woman is after him. Chapter 19, look what it says. He's a smart guy. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and also had how he executed all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more so if I do not make your life as like one of them by tomorrow about this time. She's talking big trash. And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life. He ran for his life, went to Bathsheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant. And he went by himself a day's journey into the wilderness, came to sat down under the tree, and he prayed that he might die. How many of you have ever prayed? Raise your hand, and I'll be the first to raise my hand. How many of you ever prayed, Lord, I want to die? Let me ask it this way. How many of you have said, Lord, I sure would love to see the Lord today and go to heaven and not live on this earth anymore? How about that? Okay, it's the same thing. It's suicidal. It's the same thing. It's a Christian way of saying, I want to kill myself. Okay, you can say, I want to kill myself, I can't take it, or I sure hope the Lord would come back soon. It's the same thing. I have prayed many days, many times, Lord, I'm done. Not a lot. I mean, not most of the time I don't want him to come back because there's a lot of work to do, a lot of souls to save, but I pray many, many times, Lord, I'm done. Let's go. That's what he's saying. This is about a mighty man of God. The reason I'm telling you this about Elijah is because for you to ever feel like you're done, you're in despair, you're lost, you're by yourself, you just don't want to go anymore, you're human. Life is hard sometimes. Hard. And the Bible says that this guy, in James chapter 5, in the 5:17 in the New Testament, it says he was a man with a nature just like us. The Bible tells he in 1 Kings, he prayed and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. He was a mighty man of God. And then he prayed and the rain came. But he still was a man like you and me. And God took care of him. Let's keep reading. It says, as he lay and slept, verse 5, as he lay and slept under the broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. He looked and there was by his head cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down. Now understand, he's having a pity party. He's having a pity party. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat because the journey is too great for you. So he arose, ate and drank, and he went in that strength 40 days and 40 nights as far as the mountain of God. Now understand this. He says, dear God, please take my life. I can't take it. I can't take it. And God says to him by his actions, I want you to eat this food because you're going to go on a 40-day fast. He said, God, I just told you I want to die. I know, but that's you whining. I got something big for you. I'm going to tell you, you may have been a lost child all your life where you're under the radar. God has something big for you. You have a lot to offer. People who, again, for reason of their dysfunction, or even shy people, a lot of times they hold back valuable things that they want to do and express because they're too shy to go take the initiative to do it. Not saying you have to all of a sudden become outgoing. God wants to lead you out of that very slowly. He wants to use you. He has put something in you that the world can benefit from. So here's this guy all by himself wanting to die, and God says, I ain't done with you. I'm not done with you. Let's keep reading. Look what it says. He goes to the mountain of God. And verse 9, there he went into a cave, spent the night in that place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Now, whenever God asks a question, trust me, he already knows the answer. He's basically saying, why are you tripping? Look what it says. So he said, I have been, and here's his complaint. I have been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant and torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left and they seek to take my life. Everyone say, I alone. Here's what Elijah's saying, and here's the whole deal. He's a mighty man of God. He just went against all these prophets all by himself. Israel was bowing down to a false idol, and he's telling God, I'm all by myself, and all your people have forsaken you, and I'm all by myself. And God is like, there are going to be times in your life when you are all by yourself. You're like that puppy. You ran away for whatever reason. You're isolated, lonely, discouraged, depressed, lost in some way. And you feel like, who understands? And God is saying, I do. I do. Now, the mountain of God was Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, where Moses talked to God, burning bush. Moses talked to God, Ten Commandments. This is a mountain where God showed up. He showed up on a lot of mountains, but this is one of the most well-known mountains in the Bible that God showed up. And matter of fact, on this mountain, God put Moses in the cleft of the rock and passed by him, and the same thing's going to happen here. On the same mountain, God is going to pass by Elijah, and in his passing by, we're going to learn our lesson. Because here's the deal. When you're alone or lost or in despair or feel abandoned or whatever, the key thing you got to do is you got to find God in your darkness. It's very key. Because you can feel like, Lord, what am I going to do? I got all this stuff going on. And you think you have to do something supernatural to lift you up out of your pit and find yourself your way back. Here's what you got to do first. While you're in your pit, while you're in your despair, While you're by yourself, and we all have those alone moments when we look in the mirror or we're sitting somewhere where there's no mirror, thinking about our life, thinking about what did I do, God is right there. He's right there. He's not over there. He's not over at the Rosecrans at the church. He's not on your iPod. Trust me, he's in all those places, but that's not where you have to go. He's right with you. So here's Elijah. He's 40 days that hasn't eaten, and he's crying the blues. I'm the only one. You ain't the only one, fool. You ain't the only one. And what he means by that, you're not the only one that serves God. Because what he's saying is everybody else is forsaking you, and I'm all by myself. And God is saying, if he was black, Negro, please. Which is what we used to say back in the day. So just that's kind of where that came from. It wasn't as random as it sounded, but it was kind of where that came from. We say that to each other every now and then. Please. So just look. Look in your notes right there at the top. It's not even a fill-in. It just says, find God in your darkness. This is what you have to think about. If you're a lost child and you feel insignificant, you feel like you can't express yourself, I'm not trying to get you to be outgoing, but I want to encourage you to this. I want you to find God in your darkness. I want you to find God in your loneliness or your alone space. Don't build a little wall around yourself and say, I'm going to play it safe and I'm just going to find the radar for my whole life, because God has something for you. God has put something in you. He wants to come out, however he wants it to come out. But the first step is to find God right where you are. Look what it says. It says in verse 11, he said, go out, this is God talking to Elijah, go out on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Everyone say wind. And after that, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Say earthquake. And after that, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Say fire. Earth, wind, and fire. Just to help you kind of remember it a little bit. And then it says, after the fire, a still, small voice. Look in your notes, number one. Listen for God's still, small voice. When you are in that dark place, alone place. This applies to all of us all the time, everywhere. But especially to that child or that person that's kind of always isolating themselves, always trying to get out of the drama. We want to encourage you that that place that maybe your circumstances have placed you is not a place you should stay. And God wants you to step out of that. And step one is to hear and find God's still small voice while you're in that place. What does God's voice sound like? It sounds just like your conscience in your head, you talking to yourself. That's what it sounds like. You're not going to hear James Earl Jones saying, Jimmy, read your Bible. At least that's not my experience, and I've never heard it that way, and never heard when I talk to other people. My experience is not the biblical truth. But just God's going to whisper to you, and it's going to sound like your conscience. But you know how you know it's going to be God? It's going to be biblical. You're never going to hear God tell you, hey, you need some money, huh? Why don't you go rob the bank? Just bum rush the armored car. They'll never expect the old lady coming at them like that. You're going to hear a voice at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're drooling on your pillow. You're going to wake up and be like, so mad you're awake. Why am I awake? Anybody wake up and you're mad that you're awake? You want to go back to sleep, right? And you can't go back to sleep. And you hear this little voice say, hey, why don't you pray? Anybody? That ain't you. That, D-A-T, ain't A-I-N-T, you. You. I bet you that's God. Read your Bible. I bet you that's God. Turn the TV off. Bet you that's God. It's simple. And if you listen to the voice and take a little baby step and then do the next step, look what it says next. He says next, draw near to the small, still voice. In other words, what'd you say, God? Keep listening. Keep yearning for more whispers. Don't look for the earthquake. Don't look for the wind. Don't look for the fire. They ain't singing to you reasons or for all y'all. Say amen if you know what reasons is. Amen. Don't you wish you could sing like that? Reasons. I cannot. Look at what verse 13. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave to hear. And suddenly the voice said to him, what are you doing here? And he says, I have been zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets, and I am alone, am left, and they seek to take my life. Elijah, stop whining. Listen to what I'm telling you. I'm not going to read the rest of this. We got to go out to the ministry. He says, go out and anoint these two guys kings. Anoint Elisha to replace you because your job is done. But I want you to go do those three things. And then you're going to come up here and be with me. But Elijah, there's 7,000 other people that have not done what you said. You're not alone. He says in verse 18, we're not going to get there. He says, it is 7,000 other people who have not bowed their knee to the false god. Here's what I would tell you. Look at number three in your notes. Look at number three. It says, be led by the small, still voice. Be led by the small, still voice. In other words, I want you to seek it, and I want you to draw a knee to it, and when you hear it, I want you to do what it says. That's it. Because every single one of you, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are in your journey, all you have to do is listen to the voice of God. There is no one formula. I talk to people all the time. What's the will of God for my life? I don't know. Because the will of God for your life is going to be different. And matter by the way, not only is it going to be different than everybody else's, it is unique to you. But one thing you know for sure, though, is going to be consistent with this book. There's some of you in here today, God is telling you, you know, you're going to go out and see these ministries, and some of you are going to, here's what some of y'all are going to do. I hope I get this wrong. You're going to walk around right by the booths, and you're going to have this burningness in your heart that's telling you stop and go sign up and go do something, and you're going to be like, no, I don't have the faith, no, I don't want to do it, and you're going to be burning here by guilt, and you're going to get in your car, and you're going to drive away, and by time, it'll bug you, and soon it'll dissipate because God will not let you slide, he'll come back at you another time, and you think, well, maybe it wasn't God's will. No, you just resisted God. You didn't listen to the voice. God's not going to yell at you. He's not going to turn your car on top of his head. He's not going to send earth, wind, and fire on you. He's just going to whisper to you. And he's going to be very patient with you. But you are the one cheating yourself. He's been whispering to a lot of you about doing something. And you have been saying no by just not doing anything. We talked about the kids will get turned away. I mean, come on. Especially if you put your kids in there, you should at least say, I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to help. Okay? Because they're in there teaching the word of God. It's not babysitting. And there's sports ministries in the back, there's core ministries on Sunday in the back, there's food, there's outreach ministries on the street. Go sign up and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Step out of your shell. Try it. And here's the thing, be faithful, because all those people, especially the outreach ministries and sports ministries, they're not on staff. They're paid, they're volunteers. They're volunteers, just like you. So we're going to pray. I want to encourage you. Go sign up. Listen to that small, still voice. He's not going to shout it from heaven. You're going to say, you know, I feel led to this. There you go. There you go. This whole church and ministry and this building and everything people have done to get here is all because God's whispered to a bunch of people. Hey, why don't you go buy that big building? Okay. Why don't you go start a church? Okay. And then God, why don't you start the children's ministry? Okay. Why don't you oversee this ministry? Okay. That's how it happens. There's nothing more, nothing less. So the quicker you listen to that voice, the quicker you be led for that voice and you follow and obey that voice, the quicker you will get blessed. But if you're looking for the earthquake, if you're looking for God to rattle you out, he's just going to lead you gently. And you have to trust him. Is it scary? Yes. But it's so exciting. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And I pray everybody goes out and I pray that they find a ministry. And I pray they listen to your small, still voice and that you bless them tremendously. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.